20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack-A-Cast. It's shop for all things green and gold. My name is Mike Wellen. I'm joined this week by my partners, Matt Fralick and Gage Bridgeford. The three of us back together for the first time, I think, in June, as we inch our way closer to the end of summer and training camp in Green Bay. And we have some questions that we'll be fill-in-the-blank, Mad Lib, whoever you want to describe it. But Matt, you came up with this idea, and this is going to be a fun one with the kind of a lull period during this offseason.
Definitely. And, you know, we were trying to take attention away from Aaron Rodgers missing on minicamp with us kind of periodically, you know, taking our turns rotating out when we were available, and no one really noticed. So we did our best to, you know, try to at least take attention away from 12, but I don't think anyone noticed as much as they did with Aaron. But anyway, with the topic, I'm super pumped. Like, I was thinking about it. I'm like, this could be a good idea. Like, we'll see how you guys, and you guys came up with really good ones, which is great. There was countless ways we could have gone with. I almost put it out to Twitter, but I felt like it was going to be like, I felt like people were going to be sarcastic with it because I wasn't going to get much for them, because you know how people like to be online. But no, I'm excited to dive into this. Gage, what's up, man? How's it going?
It's going well. I have power today. Two weeks ago, and I had a power outage right as we were about to record. Last weekend, power went out here, as it did for like 40 plus thousand other people in the Midwest. So, But I have power as of now, knock on wood. But yeah, Matt, normally we wait until the last second to pick our topic, and you messaged us a couple of hours ago and said, hey, let's go ahead and do something like this. And I was like, there we go. Now we're planning ahead for once. This is how we need to do it. But yes. I really like the topic, and I really like the way where this conversation is probably going to head to.
Definitely.
For sure. And this is definitely a few long-term style questions and a lot of legacy questions that we're talking about in this one. It's going to be very fascinating to see each other's answers. And when you guys listen to us, let us know as well. Let us know on your favorite podcast platform what you would have answered. Let us know on wherever you are. Give us a subscription, a like, all that fun stuff. But also let us know how you would answer all these three questions. So that being said, let's just jump right in. And I'll go with my question first, because mine's, I think, the least consequential of the three. Now, mine is, the Packers will have blank players who will make an all-pro team in their career. And the number I came up with was 11. And it's half of those have already happened, but I think there's 11 guys on the roster right now that'll make an all-pro team throughout the season. And I'll let you guys give your numbers first, and then we can kind of talk about which players that might be.
So just to clarify, this is throughout like their entire career. So if they were to leave the Packers and then make it maybe on a different team, does that still count? Or
I think you count that, because that's,
yeah, I count it.
Okay.
So now are we counting people that have not made it, or just like anybody that has made one so far?
So I think like if they've made
Rodgers
it,
would Rodgers count as one of your hypothetical 11?
Excellent.
Okay. I think if they've made it already, it counts.
Okay, that's what I just wanted to clarify that really quick. All right, so.
So I'm going to jump in here quick, and I'm going to answer with the Green Bay Packers have 12 players who will make an all-pro team in their career. I'm going to quickly count up, because I feel like that's fun. Adams 1, John Runyon 2, Rob Tonyan 3, Aaron Rodgers 4, Aaron Jones 5, AJ Dillon 6, Kenny Clark 7, Rayshon Gary 8, Za'Darius Smith 9, Adrian Amos 10, Darnell Savage 11. I missed one, and I believe
Jair missing a corner.
It was Jair.
Really not... I was like,
was
you didn't.
I was going through. Yeah, I knew. I was like, was it another linebacker? Yeah. So Jair. So that's 12. Like, I feel like that's. I mean, I think I heard a little bit of a grumble in the John Runyon one, but I'm staying.
It was not a surprise. It was surprise. I want that to be clear. I was like, huh? Did I hear that right? Because I would have expected maybe a Josh Myers nod. Was honestly where I thought you were gonna go. So. I don't really have an official number off the top of my head here, because I did a quick count, and I was. So here's who I had. Adams, obviously. D-Bock. Elton Jenkins. Rodgers. Aaron Jones. Kenny. Rayshon. Za'Darius. Jair. Savage. And Amos. I had Mason Crosby in my list as well. I think that Mason deserves a nod there. And then I can't give it to Tonyan, just because with Kittle, Kelsey, Waller, all the other guys, I just don't think he's going to quite get there. I want to say A.J. Dillon. There's just so many talented running backs, and Aaron Jones locked in long term. I don't know if Dillon gets there. So I kind of like that there. But then ultimately, I go with Josh Myers because I think that with the talent around him at the line, that's who's going to be my final pick here. So I don't know what that number would end up being. But Josh Myers with the talent around him, and I think he can step in. I think he's a really solid player. He had first-round buzz on him entering last season, just kind of had a rough year. So I think that that's who your final guy kind of is. So John Runyon is a talented player, and Mike and I could look stupid for being surprised, but as of now, that would be who my final guy would be. So what would that be? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and I had 13, so I was even higher than you were.
Yeah, and I missed D-Box, so I'm glad you mentioned it. So I'm at 13 as well. I was thinking about Mason Crosby, but I thought he would have got it at some point already. But again, it's kind of like what you were saying about Tonyan and A.J. Dillon. Like, it's tough to really break free, and like especially at one position where there's not really multiple guys. So Mason was the other guy I forgot, but I'm sticking with 13, and I'm putting an asterisk next to it. You know, I already gave a number. I realized that I went 12, but I got to go 13 based off what I said. And Mike, you know, Mike took the safe route. He just picked a number, Gage. We actually went in and counted them.
Well, I counted it when we were.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he was kind of prepared, and he said time. And I'm actually kind of figured out.
Yeah, he looks a lot better.
I'm going to add another guy, so I'm going to go with 12, but it's going to be
Mason Crosby.
Well, it's good. No, I already had Crosby. Rodgers, Jones, Adams, Bakhtiari and Jenkins, Kenny Clark, Za'Darius Smith, Jair Alexander, Adrian Amos, Mason Crosby. I'm also adding Amari Rodgers as a punt returner.
Ooh, sassy. Very nice.
No Savage Love. Is that
I'm not sure he's going to get the numbers to get all pro at some point. Because I think he's going to move around enough that it's going to be tough. Amos is starting to get some more love now. Savage is going to be tough because he may get overshadowed by a guy like Amos on his own team, much like for years he was in Chicago. Like, so it could be something similar to that. I think there's a chance there.
Couldn't Savage hypothetically get the nod similar to the Honey Badger, like the Tyrann Mathieu style thing? Like, Mathieu gets moved all around a lot. Savage gets moved around a lot. But also, so I'm looking at it from the age thing. Tyrann Matthew's 29. He's a little on the older side. He's going to hypothetically fall off at some point. You got Savage is nowhere near 29 years old. What is he, 22? He turns 24 in July. Okay. So he's got five years younger, basically. So
there's also the rigidity of the AP's All-Pro team. Because, I mean, until, 2019, they still had a fullback?
Sure. Yeah, they are really rigid on that sort of thing. Because you hear this guy's an edge, but really, this guy's a defensive end, but he's really not.
TJ Watt made it twice.
Yeah, as an outside linebacker and a defensive end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
it's just linebacker.
That's okay. That's fair. I'll give you that. I think I like getting Savage in there. And I think I like your list a lot there, Michael. I know obviously we all three had a lot of overlap, but that's a good thing to hear because Green Bay's got a really talented roster and there's a lot of talent surrounding Rodgers and everybody else. It's a good time to be a Packer fan. Like there's not a lot of great teams right now. Green Bay is one of the few though.
Yeah, and I think we can all agree that Mason Crosby should be an All-Pro.
At some point. Never even made a Pro Bowl.
Should have been last year.
Never even made a Pro Bowl.
No, I noticed that. That's unbelievable. Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Incredible, yeah.
All right, so let's jump into our next question, which is more long-term. And Matt, you had this one.
Yeah, it's Matt LaFleur's legacy with the Green Bay Packers will be remembered as blank. And I like Mike led off this podcast where this is a lot of long-term stuff. We could have gone short-term, but I like how this is trending. But I'm going to go Matt LaFleur's legacy with the Green Bay Packers will be remembered as exciting. And I know that's not really like the most exciting answer, really. But I think when you had the tradition of Mike McCarthy and the normal tradition of the Green Bay Packers, what we're going to look back on with Matt LaFleur is the Packers kind of went different, in my opinion, at least over the 30 years of watching the Packers and observing them with their quarterback, or excuse me, with their signing of head coach Matt LaFleur. Like, younger guy, innovative, a lot of energy, enthusiastic, and he brought a lot of excitement from day one to the locker room. You could say that was parlayed with Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, them being just basically the face of the team through that transitional year. But overall, I just think everything that Matt LaFleur does, he does it with passion and excitement and enthusiasm. You see him out at the Bucks games. Like, he's just that guy that he's bringing excitement and notoriety to the Green Bay Packers, which is oftentimes, you know, I don't want to, they're not an afterthought, but they're normally not getting a lot of headlines unless it's every, you know, decade and a half when their quarterbacks are in the news for whatever the case may be, more than likely not wanting to play or being traded or retire. But I think really, like, I just love that LaFleur is the head coach of the Packers. I get actually excited just thinking about him being such a young guy, being able to develop all these young players, and I just am very excited to see what the future brings with him calling plays and being the head of the team.
So
go ahead.
I'm gonna go with progressive, and
okay,
I don't mean that in like the social justice aspect. I mean it as in how Matt has really taken Green Bay from a team that was a very like polished, like Mike McCarthy could have a good quote here or there, but for the most part, he was a very reserved guy that was very like buttoned down, just professional style guy. You had, and the same, and between him and Ted Thompson, again, it was two guys who were very old school, very like that was that era of the NFL. That's how it was versus you, and you would see other teams like Arizona now, Sean McVay out in LA, and just they were like younger, they were the sexier quote unquote option, and they were just like the future of the NFL. And Green Bay looked like a team that was possibly falling by the wayside with the final couple years of McCarthy. And then you had LaFleur come in, and there was a lot of questions around him, or oh, he's not going to work well with Rodgers, or he's just a McVay cast off. He's going to be the next Zach Taylor. And through 2 years, he's 13-3 in the regular season. Both times, he's won a playoff game in both seasons. And if it weren't for just running into a buzzsaw combined with losing your all-pro left tackle, he probably goes to the Super Bowl and has a good chance of winning one against Patrick Mahomes. So, and LaFleur has really modernized it with the motion and using players in unique positions. And he revitalized Rodgers to the point that Rodgers just won an MVP and looked like a guy that was not even close to the end of his career. He looked like a guy that was in the prime of his career. Mm-hmm. So that's where LaFleur is after me, is he is a guy that is making this team progress towards the future and be a really modern team rather than being a team that was living in the past and more or less riding the coattails of Aaron Rodgers and going as far as he was able to drag you. And now there's games where even if Rodgers isn't perfect, they're still able to get by a lot of the time.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go kind of between you guys. I'm going to say refreshing. Gage, you talked about Mike McCarthy being professional. He had a good quote every now and then, like the I'm a successful football coach, stuff like that. And you saw his rage in Washington when he tried to kill a referee, like stuff like that. But he was always a very professional, business-oriented type guy. Get down to business, get to work, and what happens at Lambeau stays at Lambeau. Ted Thompson the same way. Mike Holmgren the same way. Mike Sherman the same way, but with really, really crappy results. With Matt LaFleur, you see him at Bucks games. You see him at Brewers games. You see him in the community. He's joking around. He's affable. He's quippy. He set up a basketball hoop in the training facilities so I could play after practice. Like, he's got all these things that it is such a change of culture in Green Bay since he got hired. And it is definitely a much more refreshing thing. The famous quote is he's brought the Packers into the 21st century. And exactly. To an extent, he's done that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Mike McCarthy wasn't in that, but what LaFleur has brought into this team with his youth, with his energy, and with his relatability to the players especially – has been huge. And it's going to be an era. The Packers are going to look for another coach like LaFleur with that kind of energy once Matt is gone. I think that he has turned the corner for this franchise to this next generation of guys, and he's going to be seen as the godfather of that 50, 70 years from now. He's going to be the first one of those coaches. And so I think it's very refreshing to have him around. I think that's what he's going to be remembered for by the time it's done, is the refreshing attitude that this team now has.
I think one of the best parts about Matt is like he's 41. So you said that's a guy that they'll look for after Matt's gone. Matt's 41. He is a very young guy. Mm-hmm. For in terms of NFL coaches, you have your Bruce Arians, your Bill Belichick, you have Pete Carroll, you have these guys that are that have been around a while. And meanwhile, LaFleur is one of the new fresh faces on the block. There's going to be other, like Ron Rivera is 59 even. Mike McCarthy also up there in age a little bit. He's 57. So you have a guy in Matt who you're saying, yeah, you're going to look for the, his like a guy like him after he's gone. Well, guess what? He's not necessarily going anywhere anytime soon, especially if he keeps winning at the rate he is. There's no reason to find a new coach.
In 20 years, I'm looking forward to head coach Kurt Benkert.
Oh, shit.
That's Benkert, QB coach Benkert to you.
Yeah, exactly. He's Kurt Benkert is 100% a positional coach. He might even be like at some point, you know, the way esports are evolving and the analytics and stuff. He might be just like the director of virtual football or something where they just put the Oculuses on and just like break it down into like, who knows? He might be into that realm. It kind of mixes his passion for football and also his passion for video games in as well. But yeah, shout out Kurt Benkert.
All right. So this is the final one. And this is what we, this is the one that I was like, let's go ahead and put this one at the very end. And this is mine. Aaron Rodgers has to do blank to go down as a hero in Packer history. So before we got started, we kind of talked about this, and I said that I think Aaron Rodgers, the only way he comes down, goes down in Packer history as a hero is if he wins a Super Bowl. I think that's the only exception. And that is specifically directed at, I've seen people that right after the Rodgers news dropped, it was Rodgers being selfish. And then as we've gotten a little bit more information, it's okay, so it's kind of a little bit of both, but I've seen that sentiment continue to shift more in the Rodgers is selfish. He just needs to do this and just deal with it. So there's people that are turned on him, and I think there's people that will stay turned on him. Like we mentioned was the Brett Favre aspect of things. Brett Favre was the guy who, after when he left, he was the villain. He wasn't allowed – he was booed when he came back to Green Bay. He was not allowed to come back to Green Bay for years, and then he finally did, got his number retired. Great, awesome. But the fans were had turned on him, and this was a guy who was for a long time was a icon in Green Bay. He still is, but he was the most known face in Green Bay. He was the one of the faces of the NFL, and he's a franchise all time player. But and Rodgers had all that going for him, and then now with this latest issue, is that going to happen again, or is Rodgers going to get the same treatment, or what does he have to do? Like I said, I think for me, he's going to have to come back. He's going to have to win a Super Bowl for fans to kind of forgive this instance and to have him go down as a hero rather than going down as a villain who just scorned the Packers.
Mike, can I drop my my bomb on this one, or do you want to, you know, should we save that, and do you want to go first?
Let's save that. If you got a bomb to drop, we'll save that.
All right.
My answer to this question is he needs to win a Super Bowl and he needs to retire on top. I think if this issue continues, even if they win a Super Bowl this season, he's still not going to be seen as here. He'll still be – he won't be the villain Favre was, because Favre tried that whole 08 was just a disaster. But he needs to win the Super Bowl, but he needs to end up going on top. He needs to leave on his horse and go into this horizon. That or he needs to go public with whatever this is. But I think we both agree they need to win a title with him. For him to salvage as much of his legacy as he can in Green Bay, because he's going to have all the records for a long time anyway. But especially in a state where Packer football is life, we don't, as a fan base, we kind of take slights sometimes too personally. And it's going to take a lot of work to get this repaired on both sides.
I'm going to let you go in just 1 second. So, Mike, you said that he had to go public with all this information. What if he went public with all of this information and it came out that Goot, Murphy were just strong arming the hell out of him the entire time? And in fact, so the image, you guys haven't seen it, Devontae Adams tweeted this out. It's been a couple of months now of the goat standing on the ledge, and and obviously Rodgers liked it, and it was in reference. And so people inferred that it was in reference to Rodgers. What if that's truly how it's been? Rodgers has been just holding it together the best that he could, and he has been on the edge of things, and come to find out it's actually Goot and Murphy that are the reason he's been the way he's been a little cagey like he has been. Do you think that fans forgive Rodgers for that? Or do they, like you said, take it a little too personally and say, oh, well, you should have just dealt with it, just bit your tongue and continued to go because you're go play football or whatever?
I think it would help him a little bit. Yeah. I think fans, while we take things personally, have rational thought and the ability for rational thought. And we saw, especially at the end of the tenure, how they treated Ted Thompson, how he got turned on pretty quick. If Rodgers has receipts and all this information, all this stuff that points everything fully on Goot, Murphy, whoever you want to put it on, and it shows everything is on them, I think that would go a long way turning fan sentiment back toward Rodgers.
Because
people still do want to like Aaron Rodgers. They still do. And a lot of people do still love Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. It's just right now with everything being he said very in the dark with everything, we still don't know a ton of great details.
That's fair. I was curious how that would factor in for you.
Because even going back to the Favre scenario, he was kind of cagey with the whole comeback stuff. But once the plane went down to Mississippi, and then he said he wants the starting job back, and he saying he wanted to go to Minnesota, that was what was the final straw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't as bad when he went to the Jets, because we just kind of felt bad for him at that point. But once he goes to Minnesota, that was when the final betrayal hit.
Mm-hmm. You guys are accurate with your statements if we're talking, like, off-season 2021. But, like, remember, like, we live in such a social media microwave minute society that, like, this recency bias, I think, might be seeping out of you guys. And I'm shocked that you're both kind of on the same page. And as soon as Gage started, I'm like, I thought to myself, I said, Aaron Rodgers has to do nothing to go down as a hero in Packer history. Because you're not saying, like, the best all time. You're not saying the greatest player of all time for the Pack. You're just saying a hero. Like, there's multiple folk heroes, tongue in cheek, of, you know, the Jeff Janises, the John Coons of the world, the Johnny Jollies, the Gilbert Browns, etc. Like, those are folk heroes. Aaron Rodgers is not a folk hero. He doesn't have to, I mean, he's far past that, obviously. But, like, in my head, man, like, if he were, I mean, obviously, like, if within nothing, I am insinuating that he at least continues to play football for the Green Bay Packers. If he were to not play anymore, that would be a different scenario. But, like, he's won a Super Bowl. He's basically taken a lot of shitty teams. I mean, not this year, or maybe when they've gotten Julius Peppers and Charles Woodson, made some run at some Super Bowl titles. But, like, he's taken some pretty dysfunctional teams, whether it be coaching staffs, whether it be coaches that had stayed on for far too long. On either side of the ball, whether it was, you know, inadequate weapons on either side of the ball, not having a defense, and he's really, like, just held his own. He's got multiple MVPs. He's, in my opinion, like, he would be a hero. He won a Super Bowl. Like, how many teams can say that, I mean, they've won multiple Super Bowls? Granted, he's only won one, but, like, should he have won more? Of course. Like, we all think Aaron Rodgers should have won more. Everyone thinks that. Anyone that observes the NFL, anytime you talk to a non-Packer fan, they're like, it sucks that Rodgers doesn't have more. You're kind of wasting him, or, you know, you wish he would get more if they're even somewhat sentimental about it. But I think he acts to do nothing. I mean, he's one of my favorite players of all time. Maybe I'm biased with that, but I feel like a few years from now, especially if and when he plays this year and even does above average for his standards, and maybe he's done with football in a couple years and he goes off into the sunset and does whatever he wants to do, because he's going to be great at that, in my opinion, once he leaves, he's going to be remembered as a hero years from now. And I guess this, you know, this whole entire Mad Lib from Gage, it would predicate it on when we're going to ask this question again, or when we look back on the history. But I think just in the terms of being a hero, I think he's already there and has to do nothing more to hold himself to that standard.
Okay, so wait, hold on. I think there might be a quick bit of confusion.
Please.
I was saying a hero to the average fan.
Average fan. I mean,
Rodgers is a hero to it, like I'm with you in that aspect. I meant, like, for the general consensus to go, yep, Rodgers is a hero. Because what was the general consensus when Favre was gone? Favre was a villain.
That was so different.
What I'm getting at is, I mean, what is the consensus we're seeing now? I've seen people today. Like, I've only been on Twitter for not even close to my usual amount today, and I've mm-hmm. seen still a fair bit of Rodgers is in the wrong. That's what I've seen for the majority of the last few weeks, is Rodgers in the wrong. He just needs to deal with it. He shouldn't be complaining. maybe they should just trade him, et cetera, et cetera. Rodgers, to me, you're right, is going down as a hero. He's not a folk hero. He is a franchise icon, legendary player.
Right.
He is already the best quarterback that has ever played for Green Bay. He is past Favre. He's past Starr. He's past everybody. He is one of the most talented quarterbacks the game has ever seen, and absolutely should go down as a hero, and he will for me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was more getting at is I think that there's a lot of fans that unless Rodgers comes back and wins a Super Bowl, there's just about no way it's going to happen. Just based on like Mike said before, people take things way too personally.
That's true. That's very
and
true.
And it's like this is a professional athlete who you don't know anything about the situation. You don't know anything other than what random people have leaked, and then we've had leaks come out and be proven false. So, but everybody's ready to just write off Rodgers and say he's a spoiled brat that just all he wants is money, and he's just this, he's just that. It's like Rodgers has given you countless memories and great things to – like, think about it. How many Hail Marys has Rodgers thrown and completed? And he had two against Arizona. He had the Detroit one. He had the one against the Giants.
Yep,
how many franchises can say they have had one in the last decade?
Right.
This guy had three in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Just everybody just wants to write him off as not a hero and he's a villain. He's spoiled, whatever. I think all those people are idiots. But at the same time, those idiots are the same people that are the ones writing him off. And are ready to say he just needs to be traded and be gone. And I'm like, you say that until you watch Rodgers go to Denver or wherever else, and he lights it up there, and then you're pissed because he's gone. It's like you're so ready to have him gone, but like you said, Matt, you're not like everyone's having this short term or like this forgetting those long term memories of. Mm-hmm. Look at all the stuff he's done. Like you said, he's taken teams that were not very good, and he's taken them a lot farther than he should. They should have gone to at least a second Super Bowl and faced the Patriots if it wasn't for the meltdown Brandon Bostic game.
Mm-hmm.
And all the games against San Francisco where just Dom Capers couldn't figure out how to stop Colin Kaepernick 2 years in a row. So
even then, 15-1 when they lose to the Giants again, like
right. Yeah, exactly.
Yep, and that was the year the Giants went and won a Super Bowl. So I'm just like, I'm with you, Matt. I was like, he goes down as a hero for me. I was like, I don't want it to seem like, oh, yep, if he doesn't come back and win a Super Bowl, he's not a hero. So I just wanted to clarify that first.
No, and that's fair to, because like if we're going off the consensus of the majority, yeah, like most people I talk to are like not a big fan of Rodgers, and like I feel like it's really hard in this day and age to like go. Not only to play your entire career with a team, but like if anyone goes and plays somewhere else, it's always different. Like it's always a little bit different if you didn't play your whole career with a team. I imagine he's going to do that, but yeah, no. If we're going based off the majority of what people think, yeah, I would agree that most people won't consider him a hero just because taking away even the 2021, even away the last 2 or 3 months aside, people are still going to remember that. Oh, he didn't do enough with this, or he said this off the field. And like people are just so. People are butthurt about everything. So it's like whatever he does or doesn't do, a lot of people are going to be pissed just because he's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers and super, super popular person.
People are still blaming Danica and Olivia Munn for.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, people hold grudges over shit that doesn't matter. So
exactly. People are still blaming Jessica Simpson for Tony Romo's failure. So
yeah,
but
yeah.
No, a few quotes came to mind that are different. Like one is obviously the one from Dark Knight of, either live long enough to die a hero, or you see yourself become the villain, that kind of stuff. But I agree with you. I think it's hero. Like my thing is separate the art from the artist, and that goes for me with anything. Mm-hmm. And like the magic he's pulled on the field, the magic he's pulled in the playoffs has been amazing to watch. Like that, I remember that Arizona Cardinals playoff game. The two bombs of Janis are just actually my memory because I was watching it with friends in college. And I'm glad you guys both clarifying because yeah, and Matt, you're right. It depends on what. When we ask this question,
mm-hmm.
if we ask it on July 4th, 2021, you're going to have a different answer than on opening day 2025. There will be a massively different answer depending on when this question is asked. So I'm sure if you ask Packer fans in 1983, what's your opinion on Bart Starr after he got fired as the coach and the team was mediocre forever, you're going to have a different answer. he was not liked as a coach at the end.
No.
And then they brought in Forrest Gregg and all that kind of stuff. But it's a very time specific answer you're going to get depending on when and who you're talking to. And with this one, I think to the average Packer fan, Gage is, I think, is right. Like, with the way the sentiment's been the past, ever since draft night, winning is going to be paramount. But the further we get away from this saga, this is where a similarity with Favre will come in. Favre eventually was able to rehabilitate his image and work his way back to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot less time for Aaron Rodgers to do that if he has to at all. But it still might take a little bit of time. But I think in 2 years, this question is going to have a completely different answer.
100%. 100%. I love that we kept that one for last. We pretty much agreed on the first two. I mean, more or less, we were all in the same kind of box. But yeah, no, I like that last one. That was good job, Gage. Way to go, dude.
About time I did something right.
And also with this group of us, this is the first time we've really kind of talked about Rodgers since the whole thing broke. We've kind of avoided it as the group of us.
Exactly. Which has been intentional for the most part.
It's been absolutely intentional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's definitely so much other topics we could have talked about over the course of the last few weeks, and we did. And it's been a blast to also help people keep their minds off of what's been going on. I don't want to see a plane wash to California when training camp starts.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. Mike, go ahead and let the folks know what you're working on.
Well, absolutely. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendland, all one word. As a broadcaster, find me at ZaleskiSports.com. That is ZaleskiSports.com. Doing a lot of Legion baseball coming up this summer, maybe some golf as well. I know Matt's disappointed. We were supposed to do Green Bay Southwest today, but it got rained out. We're going to have a doubleheader today, but that's been a lot of fun. Of course, state softball and baseball are this coming week, so that's going to be fun to keep an eye on. So you can just find my stuff there. Of course, find my work here on the Packaday podcast every week. Matt, what about you?
Well, the thing with the Southwest Legion game, though, if I can get into that, they're playing Plover, which is my – so I coached Green Bay Southwest high school baseball, and Plover was the athletic baseball program that I grew up with and played Legion there as well. So it was like two different parts of my life connecting, so that would have been awesome. But, you know, they'll make that up with that game some other time because it's been raining like crazy in Wisconsin. But you can find me on Twitter still at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. Make sure with these three Mad Libs guys, we'll be tweeting these out. But definitely interact with us or ask your friends. Like, I feel like these are very like open-ended types of conversations you can have with people about the history of the Packers or Matt LaFleur or Aaron Rodgers. So definitely tweet at us and let us know what you think. Continue to listen to Packaday. I know we're getting into those, as some people like to call it, like the dark time, or like, you know, you kind of turn stuff off and then get set with your second season, if you will, or your continuous season of Packers coverage. But we're getting close. We're getting to that point. I've been scoping out Lambeau a little bit. I go to work. I kind of take different routes to go there, see what they got going on there. But overall, just continue sticking with us. Rate, review, subscribe, like, share it with your friends. Any feedback you guys have on our podcast is well warranted. And also, we have stuff going on for Game On Wisconsin. Go check that out. We got a lot of stuff in the works, and content will be pushed out, I think, in a couple weeks for all of our new season of all of our shows. So definitely go check that out. But Gage, what about yourself, dude? What do you got happening?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at GBridgefordNFL. That's still what it is. I know some NBA people keep telling me to change it, and I keep telling them that's not going to happen. But so I'm still writing stuff for Denver Stiffs, Dynasty Nerds, Roto Baller. I got stuff coming out with, especially with, it's July, or it's late June. July is getting ready to be here, so there's going to be a lot of people getting ready to do drafts, and I'm just going to have a lot of content coming out over the next couple of months, and it's the easiest way to just tell people, just find it all there, because if I try and tell you everywhere to go, you're just going to be lost and wandering around in the desert, and we don't want that.
the depths of the web.
For sure, and also, Gage, thank you for letting us know your Twitter. We tried that last week, and Matt was having a lot of problems trying to.
Not only
at GBridgeFord NFL, it's so simple though.
Oh, no, that's easy. I was trying to spell it. I like to spell it out for people.
Okay.
Some people are, you know, texting and driving. I want to do that. They like to mentally write it down in their head, so when they get done driving, when they're listening to the podcast, on their commute or whatever else they're doing, they can find you, Gage, and all your great content you put out. But I couldn't. The
the spelling the word basically bridge was my big difficulty. I couldn't get those words
out. There's no E. That's the key. There's no E in my last name. Other than that, it's Bridge Ford, but there's no E. There's a G, obviously, for my first initial, and then NFL because NFL. There you go. So, yeah, no, I understand. It's a little difficult to spell. Trust me, my entire life people have spelled it wrong, and I'm like, you guys know who I am, and you can't spell my name right. That's pretty sad. For a quick joke before we get out of here, my senior slideshow in high school, my last name was spelled wrong by a girl who I had gone to school with for 12 years.
Bad.
12 years I've been to school with her. She got an email with my last name on it correctly from my mother, and she still spelled my last name wrong. So.
I'm pretty sure with all three of us, our last names have had problems with spelling. 100%.
I was thinking.
Because I think my slideshow was spelled wrong as well, just because they put the T in the wrong spot. But either way, names aside, check all of us out on social media. Check out all of our content at Packaday Podcast, also wherever your favorite podcast platforms are, and also the YouTube channel. Andy's been doing, again, great work, having some great guests on there talking Packers on the Packaday Podcast YouTube channel as well. So that being said, we will say so long for everyone. Thank you for joining us. For Matt Fralick and for Gage Bridgeford, this is Mike Wendland. Everyone, enjoy your Sunday. Stay cool. Stay safe. Always carry the G. And go Pack. Go.